It's on Newstime 841. Yesterday, we spoke to Senator Orrin Hatch. Today, we talked to his challenger, Pete Ashdown.
Who joins us live in studio. Good morning, Pete.
Thank you, Amanda, and thank you, Grant, for
You're
having
welcome.
Me here.
You're welcome.
So nice to meet you in person.
You too.
Why are you in this race?
Well, Amanda, I've got three kids, and I'm concerned about their future in America. And I felt that if I had the opportunity to make a change for the better for them, I should stand up and do it.
One of the things we're talking about, and we did it in a light way with Doug a minute ago, you know, asking if you were taking the Twinkie challenge, what can we do in a circumstance like this where a lot of us think that it's obvious that we're just getting ripped off?
Well, I think we need some better leadership in Congress, obviously. I think what we've seen coming out of the Senate is a lot of focus on finding more oil and no focus on some of the alternatives out there. This is not the first gas crunch we've been through. And I wish the people who went through the first gas crunch in the 70s would have stepped up to the plate then and looked at some of the alternatives we had in the 70s, like solar and electric cars, and put some support behind them. And I think if they did, we would have not been in this problem today. So we obviously need to do some catch-up right now. We've got a lot of opportunities in Utah for solar and geothermal and wind energy, and I think we should be looking at all these opportunities.
What do you say to the voter, Pete, who says, but Orrin Hatch has so much clout? Like those billboards he has up. And what do you say to that voter who's concerned about his longevity?
The seniority is constantly touted by Orrin Hatch as the only reason to reelect him. Now, I argue that there's a great opportunity for Utah here. In the last Senate election, 2004, there was a guy named Barack Obama who was elected in Illinois and suddenly became the star of the Democratic Party. Now, Barack's race was a cakewalk, really. He took it by about 80 points, and this race is not the same situation. It's much harder for me. I'm not getting any support from the National Democrats, and what I see on the national scene is a lack of vision, a lack of leadership, and I think I can provide that leadership, and I think I can win this election. And once that happens, it's going to provide an enormous amount of clout for Utah as well.
Do you think there should be term limits?
I think that's a good short-term solution, but the long-term solution I'm shooting for is leveling the playing field between the incumbents and challengers. Right now, the incumbent has the advantages on seniority, which I think should be abandoned for a lottery system that appoints committee chairs by random. I think that the financing is an obvious advantage that incumbents have, and I think that should be either changed by a public pool of money or a shared pool of money where everybody gets the same amount of money to go out and campaign on, and I think by doing those things, we'll be talking about the issues more than trying to market the candidate.
Is this upcoming election a referendum on the war?
I don't know so much in Utah. I think there's still very high support for the war in Utah. I think nationally, it certainly is a much, much stronger issue outside of the state. I'm out there talking to Utahns. I put down 20,000 miles going throughout this state, and yeah, and the issues I'm hearing are, you know, the Twinkie Pledge, the issues of gas prices, the energy, the long-term economy, education. We obviously have a big concern for education in this state with the amount of children we have. And healthcare. Healthcare is a big issue, too. So I wouldn't say war is on the forefront of most people's minds in Utah.
I won't say the Mark Foley case is insignificant, but there seem to be a lot of other issues like healthcare, like taxes, like energy resources that seem to get pushed to the back burner while there's all this political infighting. How do we get past that?
Well, I'm disappointed at that as well. You know, I wish we could deal with it quickly and move past it. Of course, it's salacious, and the media loves a salacious story. The most striking thing about the Mark Foley incident to me is that we have a Congress that is so intent on monitoring the American people, and they can't even monitor themselves. I'd say there's a lot to be said for going back and putting filters on the Internet and watch what the congressional staff and our elected representatives are doing on the Internet. To make sure that they are using our tax dollars wisely.
His name is Pete Ashdown. He wants to be your next senator. It's a pleasure to meet you, Pete.
And he's also taken the Twinkie Pledge.
He has.
Thank you, Greg.
Have a great weekend.
You too.